House. My, what a place the church has been for us all down through the years. If you'd like to read with me tonight, I have a couple passages I want to read from, beginning in Hebrews chapter number 4. If you wouldn't mind to stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, if you're able to. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, if you'd go with me to Luke chapter number 8, it's the setting of Scripture that the choir sang about tonight. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 22 beginning. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. He came, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where's your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I want you to notice there in verse 25, the punctuation that is used after their statement, what manner of man is this? Two other writers tell this story. One of them uses a question mark at the end of that statement, but the other one uses the same punctuation as this. What manner of man is this? Exclamation point. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for the word of the Lord. Back in May, we were privileged to be at Brother Jeremy Spurlock's meeting. And Brother Dwayne and Sister Brenda Gallagher are here. Brother Dwayne's brother-in-law was preaching. And the Lord gave me this message through his preaching. He made one statement in his preaching. And he said, you know, sometimes we miss the emotion of the Bible. And I was reading through this passage of Scripture just a few days after that. And I noticed the punctuation on the end of this statement that these disciples made after Jesus had calmed the storm. And they said, what manner of man is this? Really, in my way of thinking, they just backed up and said, what a man. What a man. Unbelievable. What a man that Jesus is, that even the winds and the water obey him. He stood up and just said, be still. And the wind and the water obeyed him. What a man. I want to preach tonight on don't miss the emotion. Don't miss the emotion. Our youngest son, Bryce, is in first grade this year, and he's learning to read. And it's my job sometimes in the evening to sit there with him as he learns to read. It's funny to me to as children begin to learn to read, they pay no attention to any punctuation at all. And he's still in the sound and out stage, so it's just kind of comical to me. But I'll ask him after it's done with the sentence, do you know what you just read? No, I don't. And he don't. He's just trying his best to sound the words out. You know, I think sometimes we're guilty of doing the same thing when we read the word of the Lord. Do you know what you just read? Do we know what we just read? It was real to a group of men. It isn't just a story that sounds good to the children on Sunday morning. This was real life. They really did get in a boat as the Lord commanded. He really did get in there with them. He really did go to sleep. They really did face a major storm. The Bible said here that there came down a storm of wind on them. And they were filled with water. I know that the other writers talked about the boat being full of waves. But, waves come in and you're not going to escape being filled. They were probably feeling like they were waterlogged, so to speak, drenched. And they feared that they would go down in this storm. And the Bible said they were in jeopardy. Verse 23 said they were in jeopardy. And I believe every word of the Bible. They were in jeopardy. Now, I know I've preached it too. You're not going to go under if Jesus says you're going over. I believe that. But right then, their lives were threatened by the storm. And they were trying everything in their own power to get rid of it. And they got emotional. When Jesus stood up and said, "Peace be still," I know the winds had came down on them, the waves were high, and they were in an unbelievable storm here. Jesus calmed all that, but I think more than that, they were physically upset. Emotions were out of kilter. You have a near-death experience, you'll do the same thing. Absolutely. You ever have a near miss on the highway and have to pull over because all of a sudden, uncontrollably, you just start shedding tears and the heart beats out of your chest? I just about got in something terrible. I could have died. You know, a near-death experience here. That's where they were at. We were in trouble. Our lives were in jeopardy. And all of a sudden, just almost, it seemed like faster than the storm came down on them, and that he arose and stood up and said, "Peace, be still," and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. Raging of, you know, the words used here, it describes something far greater than just some little picture that we write on the Sunday school literature. This was trouble in the worst way. You'd be emotional too if you came through an experience like that. Sometimes we miss the emotion of the Bible. But when they realized that Jesus had the ability to stand up and calm the storm in their life. I mean, naturally, he had the ability that even the elements of nature obeyed his voice. They backed up and they said, "My, what a man. What a man." Looking at each other. Oh, praise the Lord. Sometimes I think we lose our wonder of who Jesus really is. And then all of a sudden when we're in the deepest, darkest trouble of our life, and sometimes just quicker than it came on, Jesus just calms it all down. And we stand up and say, "What a man, praise God. What a God that we're serving. What a man Jesus is, praise the Lord." You know, I really believe that we need to pay a little more attention to the emotion. It's laid out in these pages. Sometimes when you're writing, it's hard to convey emotion through the written word. It's hard. That's why those punctuation marks are there. You know, we're living in a technology age, and I'm not so cool. I know that. My children will tell you that after church if you're wondering about that. I'm not so cool. But I kind of get amused. My mom, she overuses that punctuation mark I was talking about a little while ago. The exclamation point. And she sends every once in a while, you know, my granddad, her father in California, was sick for several months, and she'd go out there and she'd send us updates, and sometimes the occasion called for her to notify me and my sister of how things were going, and oftentimes she used the exclamation point in the right way, but sometimes she just used it after every sentence. And I would tell Tamara, I would call her, I'd say, well, Mom's screaming at us again. Because it just looked like to me that somebody, you know, really wanted to convey some. Sometimes it called for that. I'm not undermining that, but sometimes we overuse things, don't we? But they didn't overuse this punctuation when these men were in trouble. And I really felt like when I was praying for this meeting that there would be some folks that are an emotional wreck, you could say. I know you post you put a smile on your face, paste a smile on your face. If I were to shake your hand tonight, you'd probably tell me I'm doing okay. But if you'd really get honest with God tonight, you'd say I'm not doing so good. I'm in trouble. I really need some help. Why? Because of the storm. Why? Because of what's going on. Did you know that God's concerned about an emotion in our life? Do you know God has emotions? Did you know the Lord Jesus had emotions? I read to you over there in Hebrews that we have an high priest. You know, the writer of Hebrews was trying to get the Jews to understand that the high priest that they'd been using, there's a better high priest now that's passed into the heavens. And he said, we have an high priest that can. I know he used it in the negative connotation that we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but really what he was saying is we do have a high priest that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Praise the Lord. He is trying to let them know you've used a man as your high priest. You've went to men like was Annas and Caiaphas that were the high priest of the day when Jesus lived, and all throughout the years the Israel had a high priest to go to. And they could intercede to the Lord. But when Jesus came, all that was done away with. And now we've got a high priest now that's passed into the heavens. And he's sitting at the right hand of God. Oh, praise the Lord. And I'm glad the writer of Hebrews talked about this. He said he's not a man that can't be touched with how we feel. Praise God. When I'm having a hard time emotionally, when I've got sorrow, who do I turn to? I tell you who you can turn to. A man that Isaiah said he saw it as a prophecy. He said that he's a man that's acquainted with grief. Oh, praise the Lord. He's a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knew what it was like to cry. If you'll read on down in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews, it said, talking about Jesus, who in the days of his flesh offered up prayers with strong crying and tears. Oh, we're talking about Jesus now, who cares about our emotions. Praise the Lord. Let's not miss the emotion of the Bible. Do you remember other times in the New Testament when emotion was displayed on the pages of the Word of God? Many times I read about that, even about our Savior. I read how he went to one of his best friend's family after his buddy had passed away in John chapter number 11. Y'all remember that? The Bible said that he loved Mary, and he loved Martha, and he loved Lazarus. He tried to explain to his disciples what had taken place, and they couldn't understand it at first. He said that he was asleep, and then he just had to tell them he died. No, not Lazarus. Yeah, he died. My friend died. Your friend died. So we're going to go. And the disciples are walking there with the Lord thinking we're going to go comfort Mary and Martha. And he gets to where they're at, talking about an emotional scene. Martha comes rushing out to where the Lord was.
And she said, Lord, if you had been here, our brother had not died. An emotional, a raw situation. You let death come knocking at the... You know, there's something I want to say here. There's something's kind of a pet peeve of mine. I get pretty aggravated when I go to a funeral, and I don't want to be haughty about this or anything, but it bothers me when somebody stands up and say, this is not a time to cry. And you know, I know if someone has lived for the Lord for years, they're an older saint, and we're rejoicing that they're making it to heaven. That's all right. We're rejoicing for them, but we're sad for us. You let death come. I hate for people to say that, especially to the family that's got to go back home and try to figure out how to go through life without that loved one. And there's not, you know, there's times when just life hits us and it's raw. And emotion is all stirred up. That's exactly what was going on in the heart of Martha and Mary. Martha runs out to the Lord and said, if you'd have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, if you'll just believe, all things are possible to them that believe. He said, thy brother shall live again. Ah, Lord, I know that he will in the last day. And he said, Martha, I am the resurrection in the life. But I read where Mary sat still in the house. You talk about emotion. She trusted that the Lord would come too. Read about it a few verses later. That was her response to Jesus. If you would have just been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, let's go out to where you laid him. Let's go to the graveyard. And they get out there. And the Bible says something about our Lord that I love. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. But the Bible said Jesus wept. Jesus, are you talking about the one that has life in his hand? Yes, he did. You know why? Because he cares about our emotion. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Even so much so that the ones around him said, behold. And there was that exclamation point. Behold how he loved him. I want to tell you, it was evident in the life of Jesus that he was concerned about the emotions of mankind. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Behold how he loved him. And I know it was just a little bit after that that the Lord spoke to Mary and Martha and said, you go, roll away the stone, take away the stone. No, no, no. It's been so fresh, Lord. We don't want to. He said, go take away the stone. And they did that. Oh, praise the Lord. And here's this man that those disciples some years before that had backed up and said, my, what a man Jesus is. And he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And coming out of the grave, still bound in grave clothes, here comes Lazarus. I believe the occasion could call for the same statement. Oh, what a man Jesus is. Praise God. Hey, my friend. I don't want us to miss the emotion in the Bible, but I want to tell you this tonight. The Lord hasn't missed your emotion either. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're lonely. He knows how to help you tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm an emotional wreck. Nobody knows. The times I've got up when everybody else was asleep and I felt like I was losing my mind. You may have said that. I paced the floor in the midnight hours and said, does anybody care? Is there anybody around to calm the storm that's going on in my life? I've wondered, will God really come to me where I'm at? Yeah, I've heard.
heard Sister so-and-so get up in church and she testified and everybody rejoiced how that God calmed her storm. I've heard how, you know, that's what the disciples could have said. They could have said, we just saw him break bread for thousands, but it's different now because the storm's bearing down on us. I want to tell you something right now. God wants to be an up-to-date God with you right here tonight, praise God. He wants to move in your heart, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. If you can get us a song, please. Hallelujah. 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 There's times when the occasion calls for our emotions to be upset. And really, when I was working with hospice, the guy that trained me, he said, Devin, when you're going to these families that's faced loss, he said, one of the hardest things to see is somebody that will just bottle it all up inside, not really let go. He said, you tell them, if you feel like crying, get away from everybody if you have to, but let go. Pour that out. Because if you don't and hold it in, you'll hurt a whole lot worse. You know what I felt like? I felt like somebody needed to pour it out on the altar tonight. I'm concerned. I really am. But I wonder, as I read those verses in Hebrews, the high priests were dealing with needs in people's lives. Just like sometimes the pastor deals with or the Sunday school teacher deals with. And I've told my wife before, I wish I had more compassion. But there's times I just feel like my compassion don't quite reach far enough. I'm concerned. But man, my hands are tied. And there's times when there's, it seems like the onslaught of needs come and I get overwhelmed. I wonder how those high priests felt. And if some Jewish family were to come to the temple and were to pour out their need to the high priest and he just act unconcerned, I wonder if they ever walked away and said, man, I just wish he'd be a little more concerned. We're hurting. And the writer of Hebrews said, we got a better high priest than that. They're just mortal men. They can't do anything about where you're at. But we've got a man that's passed from here into the heavens. And he's sitting at the right hand of God right now. Praise the Lord. And he's sitting there right next to the one that's got it all in control. Praise the Lord. Right next to the one that can calm the storm. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. And a matter of fact, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Praise God. No wonder the writer said, let's boldly come to the throne of grace. Don't be ashamed to walk up to the altar and pour your heart out to God. We can boldly come to God. Why? Because he's got all the compassion we need. He's got everything that we need right here tonight to calm the storm that's going on in your life. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would. I want to read it again. Let us, therefore, because of what I just said, that he's a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Are you in the time of need tonight?
Would you just be willing to be honest with God? You're not answering to me, and I don't want you to. I want you to find God somewhere in this altar. Would you just be honest tonight and say, I really came to this meeting. Hey, we're all fighting the devil. We all have to do some things to contend with. I don't know what's going on in your life, but the devil's been doing some dirty work down in Arkansas. I'm sure he's working in Kentucky and wherever else you're from. We've all got that one thing in common, but we've got another thing in common. We've got a high priest that wants us to bring our problems right here to an altar of prayer. There's no need to be ashamed about it tonight.
Well, heads are bowed and they begin to sing a song. I told you I've been praying that the Lord would make it easy for somebody to respond. I don't want you to be embarrassed if you feel like you need to come to the altar. This is your refuge. This is your only hope, is getting your need in front of a God who really does care. Oh, man. My goodness, church. I feel such compassion from the Lord tonight. He really does care about your problems. Well, mine's not near what so-and-so across the church is. It don't matter to him. He's a high priest unlike any other high priest. He can hear the problems all day long and meet the needs all day long. Why don't you just begin to come? What about it tonight? Is there one here tonight that would say, I really need to touch Jesus. I came to this meeting with a heavy heart. I came to this meeting needing to touch God. I want to tell you, He'll meet you in an altar of prayer. Praise God. Wouldn't you like for God to calm some storm in someone's life tonight? What about it tonight? I'm not going to linger long with this altar call. Would you just begin to come? Would there be one that would say, preacher, I really need help from God. I came to this meeting needing a touch from God. Anybody here tonight need God's touch? Why don't you just begin to come right now? Would you come? Whosoever will.
No one can give you peace. You cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus.
I really need a touch from God. Maybe we could all come around this altar as a church collectively. Let's ask God to move in some storm for somebody here tonight and throughout the rest of the meeting. Let's ask God to move and meet needs. Everyone that would, let's find us a place around this altar. Seek the Lord a while. If you know somebody that's in need, then make it down here to the altar. Go pray with them if you feel like it. Let's try to bind together. We're all part of the family of God. We're wanting to see God move in hearts and lives. Just begin to make your way to the altar and seek the Lord a little while tonight.
No one can give you peace. He cannot understand. No one can bind your wounds with nail-scarred hands. No one can touch you like Jesus.